I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Judge, the judge Noriega basically began by asking questions about the plea deal itself, about whether or not the pleading guilty to two tax demeanors could be tied to the diversion part, which is avoiding charges, which is a felony on the gun charge. And there was disagreement in that. But the major headline that's transpired in this courtroom that is likely going to be what we're talking about for the rest of the day is Judge Noriega asked the prosecution if there was an ongoing existing separate investigation into Hunter Biden right now. The prosecutor saying yes.
Yes, Judge. A prosecution case still continues against Hunter Biden. And of course, from the judge comes the question immediately to mind. Well, then why are you making a deal this early if you've got other charges still pending and possibly to come? Excellent question. Well, we got a lot to cover today. Glad to have you with us. Here we are, July 26, 2023. And you're in the noon hour each day, Monday through Friday. We provide you live stream of the program. You can jump in at any point, and you can see us on rumble.com on either Newstalk STL or Larry Connors USA. Or you can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Twitter, or Newstalk STL Facebook, Newstalk STL Twitter. We're available for you. And if you miss any of it, you can pull it up later and watch it, share it with others. Please share it. Subscribe for free. Costs you nothing. We'll make sure it gets sent right to you so you can catch it and listen to it later, watch it later. And everything's also posted at where else? LarryConnorsUSA.com. So here we are, Hunter Biden going in before the judge, and his legal team had worked out a deal with the Justice Department. I have such a hard time using the term justice with the current Justice Department we have. It's the Department of Injustice in my mind at this point, because they are hand in glove with the Biden White House, the FBI, the IRS, every agency that's been weaponized against conservatives, independents, anybody they don't like, and especially if you disagree, you're going to try to confront them. You're on their target list. I'm on their target list. And that's just fine by me, and I'm sure it is by you. But when we first saw what they were trying to present, that Hunter Biden was going to plead guilty on a couple of things and admit actually what he was going to amount to is that he's already paid off some back taxes with the help of a very wealthy friend in California, paying the taxes that he did not report. And then, of course, the penalties that go with it. Together, you're talking about $2+ million. And then also going to plead to possessing a handgun illegally, but not yet quite illegally, where it would put him behind bars like it would most people. It is a sweetheart deal. This is something you give your lover, your Valentine. This is something you put under the tree that is the gift you want them to unwrap. But be careful when you pull the bow and the packaging comes open, it may just go boom right in your face. And right now, that's where we are. So let me give you additional insight from Andy McCarthy, who had been a former U.S. prosecutor. Now, he's also a Fox contributor. Always, I try to make sure you understand the sources and any bias they might have. So if he's working for Fox, you could say, oh, well, he's right-wing. Call him what you want. He was a former prosecutor. The left side uses him on their media outlets as well. That's fine. But what he's speaking about is something that I think all of us, when we first heard about this great deal, it was sour.
This just seems so corrupt. There's no good reason for the Justice Department and the Internal Revenue Service to take a plea where you're giving away the store to somebody as to whom you have a pending investigation
on
serious counts. Because there's political pressure. I mean, it's obvious. If you had an independent counsel, if Merrick Garland had done his duty and said that there's a conflict of interest here because the Biden Justice Department can't, with integrity and ethics, investigate the president's son in conduct in which the president is implicated, you would have an independent investigator in here. You would have a special counsel. And if it was a credible person, the last thing that person would do is take a plea while the investigation is still underway.
That's just obvious, isn't it? But let me tell you how it's being treated by the left side media at this very moment. And here's the way it's written in CNN and NNN on their front page at this point. The president's son agreed to a limited agreement that includes conduct related to tax offenses, drug use, and gun possession. He will plead guilty to two tax crimes. And there was another piece. Looks like they've updated this. Oh, they're changing their wording already. Huh. Isn't that interesting? Okay, well, I should have tried to save it earlier, but, you know, they're free to change their copy as they want. But you know what they're doing right now, too, is they're so thankful for news about Rudy Giuliani, which we'll get into the second hour, that Rudy Giuliani is conceding he made defamatory statements about Georgia election workers, a couple of them back in 2020. And thank God for Rudy Giuliani being available for us to give us some attention. And thank God also that the Congress is opening a UFO hearing so we don't have to focus on this thing blowing up around Hunter Biden or what's yet to come, and that's Devin Archer testifying. So they got a lot of things they can use to take your eyes off what they call the shiny object, which is really the object. And it's not a UFO. It's not unidentified. We know exactly the identification. And if it's flying, it's on coke again. And it's not an object, it's Hunter Biden and the Biden family crime syndicate, in my opinion. But McCarthy, again, as a prosecutor, says, look, there are times that you're willing to make such a deal, but you're going to get an exchange, and you're doing it because there's going to be an additional payoff.
The only time I've ever heard of that happening is you have somebody who is cooperating with the investigation and is willing to plead guilty to serious charges and enter a cooperation agreement. But this is just a straight plea agreement where they're giving away the store, and they're giving it away the store to somebody who's under investigation involving millions of dollars paid in by actors who are foreign parties that are corrupt and anti-American.
Now, I will correct the former prosecutor McCarthy there when he said actors giving millions of dollars to allegedly giving millions of dollars. It's not proven yet. I'm always going to try to keep you on the straight ethical line. Do I believe it happened as it's being reported in the Form 1023 that James Comer and also Senator Grassley had a chance to see in full before it got reacted when it went to the House, and then they changed it again and made it clear that the informer was saying, yes, I was told by an oligarch that he was basically extorted by Hunter Biden, and claiming daddy was sitting in the room as he talked to him, said, you want to tell my daddy's sitting here, you're not going to send us $10 million? That's flat-out extortion. Of course there's going to be additional charges, much less the words that Biden will use that will come back to haunt him when he left office as vice president and claimed, I threatened Ukraine. If you want that $1 billion, you get rid of that prosecutor that's looking into Burisma where my son's on the board. That's a flat-out extortion crime. Then the key is, can you prove that it had any connection beyond just the money being withheld and Biden just doing an honorable thing, he thought, outright. I come back to that in just a moment with Devin Archer, but response from Hunter Biden's attorneys, they also have another issue in front of them. Apparently, some of the Hunter Biden attorneys are facing potential sanctions because they misrepresented to the court and lied to one of the clerks in his criminal case. That does not make a judge happy. You're lying to my clerk, according to the allegation in a filing. One defendant claimed that they were going to look at some of the IRS whistleblowers' recent claim that the DOJ had put aside involving Biden. And Biden's attorneys didn't like that, so they then apparently, supposedly, misrepresented their identity to improperly convince the clerk. Well, you know, that part of the story should be kept out of the face of the judge. The judge doesn't need to see that. And the judge wrote in an order yesterday, it appears that the caller misrepresented her identity and who she worked for in an attempt to improperly convince the clerk's office to remove the amicus materials from the docket. So they're in deep water before the court even was gavel to session. Now, we also have coming up Devin Archer, former business partner for Hunter Biden. And, of course, not only that, but a former friend. But now he might be testifying against him. Larry Kudlow had James Comer, the head of the House Oversight Committee, who is going to be getting testimony directly from Archer next week, and raised a question.
Mr. Chair, I want to ask you about Devin Archer. It's speculation that he will appear before your committee on Monday. My first question is, have you nailed down that date?
His lawyer issued a statement yesterday confirming that he will, in fact, come before our committee staff Monday for a transcribed interview. As has been reported, he was scheduled three or four other times and had to cancel for various reasons. But this is the first time that his lawyers publicly issued a statement confirming that he will, in fact, show up. So that's very good news for our investigation.
But that's not what I want. I want him in front of your committee for the whole public to see and on camera. And we're still getting the idea it's going to be transcribed testimony, which may still lead to him being in front of Congress. But there are rumors circulating as to what Devin Archer is saying, and Congressman Comer says the rumors may have some foundation. Don't want to get into that, but we know they're out there.
Well, I can say this. Mr. Archer's had conversations with several people over the course of the past couple of years. So I think those were the sources in the New York Post interview. I'm pretty confident I know who those sources were. So Devin Archer would know more about particularly Burisma than anyone we could talk to, because Devin Archer was on the board of Burisma with Hunter Biden. So in addition to them being close friends, they were also on the board of that Ukrainian energy company that's at the center of everything in our investigation. Look, we released the form last week, Senator Grassley and I, that showed that there was an allegation made by the owner of Burisma that he bribed Joe Biden in exchange for firing the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma for corruption. We know that Joe Biden went on television and bragged about firing the prosecutor. We know there are suspicious wire transfers from Ukraine that we don't know what the purpose of those wire transfers were. And we know that Devin Archer knows a lot of answers that we seek with respect to those suspicious wire transfers.
Yeah, so a lot of that is in play. All right, let me turn the corner and remind you, and let's deal with another subject for a moment. President Biden has designated a national monument honoring Emmett Till and his mother, and there's good reason to do so.
You have a state board of education that is saying that we are going to change how black history is taught. You have a governor who has said that we don't need to say anything that makes others uncomfortable when it comes to blacks or, for that matter, LGBTQ and others. So you have the contrast of America. You have a president saying, no, we shouldn't forget. We have a governor who's running for president saying we should erase.
No, he's not saying that. And those are the words of Al Sharpton trying to vilify the state of Florida and Governor DeSantis. I began, just before you heard Sharpton say anything, talking about how President Biden was dedicating a monument in honor of Emmett Till. And I think rightly so. But the first thing that Sharpton wants to do is get back into, that's a good thing, but what we've got to look at is these states that are still racist and the systemic racism that exists. Emmett Till, let me give you a quick background on this, a reminder for some of you. He's an African-American boy, a boy who was abducted, tortured, and when I say boy, I mean in age, African-American boy, 14 years old, abducted, tortured, lynched in Mississippi in 1955. He was accused of offending a white woman in her family's grocery store. Later, he was apparently kidnapped, tortured, and hung, and so forth. And then still later, there was an all-white jury that found the two men not guilty. And then still later, they sold their story for that time, something like $4,000, since they couldn't face double jeopardy admitting they did it. It was wrong in every way. But right now, we have a situation where when we try to make something right, we still have things like Al Sharpton and other critters like that that want to come forward and try to divide the country.
We have a governor who's running for president saying we should erase. And you have the people in the middle, the victims, represented by Mamie Till Mobley, that's saying we have got to not doctor up, fix up, cover up. We need to open up and see who we are so we can get better. It is not to make people hate. It is not even to make them uncomfortable. It's for them to realize where we are so we can get to where we need to go.
I will agree with that statement, but also understand what I'm telling you about Emmett Till. I want you to know that. I want you to feel the pain and hurt his family, and then the entire nation should, because of such a lynching over a 14-year-old boy that a white woman said looked at her in a way that was inappropriate back in 1955. Now, recently, and before President Biden decided to make this national monument in honor of Emmett Till and his mother, a relative, Mandy Till Moberly, made a statement.
The people see what I've seen. I said, I want the world to see this.
You must remember, Nicole, Ms. Till Mobley did this when there was no Instagram, there was no social media. We reacted in my time and those that are younger than me, looking at the film of Rodney King all the way to George Floyd. She was Instagram and Twitter in the 50s. It never happened before that, where America had to look at the face of this young man. And for this woman to have the courage and strength to do that, it ignited a movement that led into decades of legislation and change. And we're still fighting legislation and change, but it made forward movement because of Mamie Till Mobley and what she said and did about her son.
And rightly so. And rights like that need to be corrected and people need to be punished. And it was wrong. It was wrong on every level. And if any one of you out there thinks was acceptable at that time, you were wrong, and you might as well turn this channel off because you don't fit this audience. I believe in equal rights for everyone. My guest coming up, Shu has written a book about the critical race theory being pushed upon our children that's not going to bring America together. It's going to divide us more. Also, Congress opening hearings on UFOs. We have a lot to cover this next hour. And, of course, the 6 o'clock report is going to keep you entertained. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
CRT is being shoved into our children's faces on a constant basis, but a lot of parents didn't know that it was even being done until COVID hit and Zoom learning started. And then they began to see what their children are being taught, and then that's where the fight started. And one of those fighting against it is Kenny Hsu. He is the president of Color Us United. It advocates a color-blind society. He's also author of a new book called School of Woke, How Critical Race Theory Infiltrated American Schools and Why We Must Reclaim Them. I know why and how I got in there. We kind of have an idea, but here's Kenny Hsu. Welcome on board, sir.
Thanks for having me.
So let's look at this, and let's begin from the beginning as to when did they see the opening to start sliding this into curriculums and make it appear as just another normal learning curve?
Really, since the early 2000s. What happened was, after Obama came into office, he relaxed a lot of the accountability provisions specifically related to student outcomes, right? Before, under Bush, you had to have growth in student outcomes to be eligible for federal funding. But then Obama decided, oh, no, we trust the schools. We trust what they're going to do. We're just going to give them the funding and not tie it to outcomes. And because of that, it really invited the woke industry, the activist industry, the people who claimed, oh, we're helping students emotionally. We're helping students deal with racism, to insert their ideologies and their presence into the school system without actually talking about the essential outcome of what students should be doing in school, which is learning.
Yeah, learning is the key thing. But again, if you tell a parent, and you were open at that, if you were open, and they weren't at that time, say, look, we want to have, at age-appropriate levels, of course, discussions about race and how we can get together and unite. But there's nothing in what they've been doing in CRT that is uniting, is there?
No, it's all about intentional division. It's to serve the activist industry, right? Because the activist industry thrives, especially the leftist activist industry, thrives on division. I talk in my book, School of Woke, in Santa Barbara. In California schools right now, Gavin Newsom is mandating a CRT curricula called Ethnic Studies. And it teaches black, quote-unquote, black history. But the only black history they teach is black victimhood. They don't teach about emancipation. They don't teach about the Civil War. They don't teach about white participation in civil rights. Everything is about black victimhood. So it rewards, you know, the PhDs in Africana studies that are graduating from our college now so that they can come and teach more black victimhood and further separate our children.
And they go out and push not only that, but then victimhood. And if you're not, then they're going to push that if you're white, you got to feel guilty. Now, with all due respect, I know, and we all know by your name, Kenny Hsu, I don't think you're black. I don't think you're white. Well, I would say you're Asian, and Asians have also been a victim of this discrimination.
Right, exactly. But one thing that Asian Americans can teach the country is that despite the fact that we've experienced historical discrimination, Asians are now the top earning minority in all of America. They are the most highly educated. They show the American dream exists. They show you can get opportunity through merit here. They show the American dream as
if
well.
That's if you can get into Harvard, but they weren't letting you into Harvard for a while, were they?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I led the effort along with Edward Bloom to defeat Harvard in their admissions process. We won, so screw them.
But, you know, again, anything like this that divides us is not good for the country. And the CRT, it not only being put into the schools, but then into corporations and into our military, and the whole woke mob is running amok.
Right, exactly. This is an example of CRT's transformation of the schools in school of woke. Really, after beating Harvard, the next place that we can do to actually help minorities is fix the K-12 education system. But you know what they're doing in Baltimore, right?
Yes.
You know, more money to the teachers' unions than ever, lower outcomes than ever. It's not about the money. It's about teaching an actual patriotic history of this country and improving standards in education.
You know, you've raised that point, and today I've been running a commentary on the station specifying about how much it costs to go to the University of Alabama and Auburn versus Harvard. Of course, there's a big difference. But the point also should be made that at University of Auburn in Alabama, they have extensive DEI programs, something like $5 million for each school, and hiring of maybe anywhere from 8 to 15 different DEI instructors.
Right, exactly. It's the hiring of these instructors. It's the economy of victimhood, right? Ibram X. Kendi charged, who was the anti-racist that came to prominence during George Floyd, charged $40,000 per speech, and teachers and school systems sucked him up. They loved him because he affirmed the liberal narrative that it's racism that's why black children aren't achieving. It's not because of your bad policies. It's not because of bad family culture. It's not because of lack of work ethic. It's racism. That's why these black students aren't achieving. So see, he claimed to stand for black students, but he didn't. What he stood for were the liberals who needed to find a way to assuage their mistakes.
You're listening to Kenny Hsu, author of a new book called Woke and How Critical Race, the School of Woke, I should say, How Critical Race
School
Theory,
of woke, yeah.
School of Woke, How Critical Race Theory Infiltrated Our School System. Well, I know another black person who's done very well off of this, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter. She's got 3 or 4 houses now. Patricia Kilgore says, I'm out. I'm out of the struggle. I'm good. So she's done, right?
Right, exactly. Patrice Cullors bought a $6 million mansion for Black Lives Matter. We gave that company so much money, billions of dollars, and look what they've produced. Have they helped our country? Have they helped black Americans? Absolutely not. They've just reinforced the economy of victimhood.
I never saw one place where they went into one of these minority communities, be it black, white, yellow, red, and did anything to rebuild and help them get reestablished, create jobs themselves with the money they had available. Am I wrong? Well, am I missing something?
No, you're absolutely right. Well, I guess what? I investigated where that money went from Black Lives Matter and other groups like Stop Asian Hate. Let me tell you where they went. They went directly into the Democratic Party and also into the graduate schools of education to teach kids further black victimhood, like I was explaining. I actually trace some of the money from Black Lives Matter going into these quote-unquote community groups in Los Angeles that only serve to bring kids into these horrible, horrible racial affirmation trainings where they're only about the only thing that matters to me is that I'm black and I'm oppressed. So it's actually very, very sad. It's a very sad story about where this Black Lives Matter funding went.
Before you joined us, I was running some clips from Al Sharpton. Based on President Biden, of course, making a decision to designate a national monument honoring Emmett Till, a 15-year-old boy who was hung when he looked wrong at a white woman, according to her charge, which obviously, you know, was such a crime against humanity, much less the boy himself. But Al Sharpton saying, but here we got this president doing that, and yet we got a man who wants to be president, DeSantis, and his state that want to wipe out and erase black history. There's nothing in the Florida state schools that is doing that anymore that says anything about don't say gay.
Right, exactly. Another thing I look at is this Florida history curriculum in School of Woke. You know, Kamala Harris comes out and says it justifies slavery. It says that slaves learn skills, which justifies the institution of slavery. Well, no, it doesn't justify the institution of slavery. Of course slaves learn skills. You know, they were blacksmiths, they were maids, they were cooks. It doesn't justify that institution.
No.
But we have to be accurate about our history as a country. Otherwise, we turn it into victimhood indoctrination, and that's exactly what Kamala Harris wants.
Man, I made that point yesterday that when we had a draft, those who were pulled into the military, they didn't want to go there. Of course, it's a far cry from being shipped across as a slave. I'm not trying to make that equation. But they still didn't want to be there, but they end up learning a skill. They come out maybe prepared to work on trucks or tractors, things of this nature. So they do end up with a skill, even though they didn't choose to go in.
Right, exactly. And let me tell you, the curricula, Florida's curriculum is actually, I compliment it. I help a little bit with it. Florida's curriculum is good because it lets the emotions, it lets the primary sources do the emotion talking, right? So much of the 1619 Project in Nicole Hannah Jones' history is they put the emotion right into the tertiary source. They put the emotion right into the actual curriculum. No, you're supposed to be objective with your curricula and let the primary sources, the people who actually were involved in slavery, speak for themselves. That's how you teach. You don't, otherwise, if you put the emotion into the curriculum, you're not teaching, you're indoctrinating.
So do you expect that, you know, you're making your effort, others are as well, is the word actually breaking through what the woke mob has created based on lies?
The truth is coming through. Look at all of the activists, the parents and the teachers, some of them really starting to come out and explain what's going wrong with the system. But more work needs to be done because, remember, this has been going on for the past 50 years. Let me tell you guys, when was the last time you went and really participated in a school board election? Not many people really participated in a school board election. So you know what happened over the past 30 years? School board appointees would appoint their next replacement. Sometimes an election wouldn't even be called because there's no challenger. And then those school board members will institute woke policies on your children.
Unchecked.
That's what happens in these schools. Unchecked.
Excellent point. Kenny Hsu, author of School of Woke. I highly recommend it. A good look at how we got where we are. Thank you, Kenny. We appreciate it. We'll do it again. Coming up, more on Trump, Hunt, Hunter, Biden, and everybody. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This is one loaded day. I'm telling you, I feel as if I'm drinking out of a fire hose, and I hope you can stay up with me. Believe me, we're all going to be soaked by the time we're done. Of course, following the Hunter Biden deal plea agreement and everything surrounding it and the investigation obviously still continuing into the Biden crime family. And, of course, they're getting ready to drop another shoe on Donald Trump. And some are saying they might throw in a RICO charge this time, racketeering charge, down in Georgia. I'll get into that more in the next hour. And by the way, Mayorkas back in front of Congress being grilled again over the broken border. Oh, wait a minute. That's A.G. Garland. I get them mixed up sometimes. They're one and the same. I'm pretty sure they are. I don't think I've ever seen them appear together at one time. Have you? I don't think so. One's A.G. That'd be Mealy Mouth Merrick Garland. And one is the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. Well, I'll give him credit for speaking better than Merrick Garland, not his mealy mouth, but the bottom line is still speaking nonsense, lies, and lies, and more lies. So anyway, he's testifying before Congress again. I don't have time to look at it right now because we're in the midst of doing a lot of other stuff, but I'm looking at some of the video, and I don't see a single piece of paper in front of the man. Just what is it with these executives of the Biden White House or heads of departments like DOJ or Attorney General, that would be Merrick Garland, or Homeland Security Mayorkas or FBI Director Wray? They think they can just sit there in front of Congress with nothing in their hand, no paper, and they'll just give you an answer. And they got one answer down really pat. Well, I don't really know that. We'll check on it and get back to you. Now, here's something we have obviously coming up. A lot of folks are watching closely. What's going to happen with the 2024 election? And the concern about, is it going to be legitimate? If you remember, the first real election denier of any status was, what was that woman's name? She was married to a guy named Bill. They were in the White House for when in a governor's office in Arkansas. Her name, let me see, Hillary Clinton. After she lost to Donald Trump, didn't even want to go out and address her crowd that had waited anxiously for her to come forward because they're going to celebrate. There was no celebration. And she didn't even go address them. She didn't come out and say, I've called Mr. Trump and conceded the election. Nope, she didn't do it. Now, Trump says he did get a call from her, so I think that probably happened. But that night she started denying the election. And every major legacy news outlet and the tech companies being perfect to step in line, we're saying, how could he? It couldn't have been. He couldn't have done it without rushing help. And they continue to persist with that lie. So what are we going to do to protect it this time around? This is something I'm not sure how some of you are going to take it. I'm still trying to weigh it out on my own. Donald Trump, who is obviously the leading GOP candidate for the Republicans at this time, is officially backing the Republican National Committee initiative called Bank Your Votes, getting as many Republicans nationwide to vote early in 2024. I'm going to tell you, right off the top, this is contrary to my basic view of the election. I don't want folks to be able to vote forever and ever and ever. There's an election day. If you're out of country, then we'll give you forms to be sent out and be properly returned. And maybe we do need to extend the hours of Election Day. Maybe we need to make sure either it becomes a national holiday so no one has an excuse not to be there, and then maybe add one more day just in case they or an official pertinent officer that has to be involved in either law enforcement or medical staff, things of that nature. And I have a hard time with vote early and vote often, as it used to be said and still is in some areas of the country. So the Bank Your Vote, the idea is, here's Trump in a video that he recorded for the RNC. Radical Democrats have abused and taken advantage of absentee and early voting laws, which I agree with, to build a big lead over Republicans before Election Day. While Republicans have worked to share our beautiful values with voters, Democrats and dangerous groups funded by the far left have simply focused on collecting ballots. That's all they want to do is collecting ballots. But you know what? It turned out to be not such a bad idea. This must change for us to win in 2024. He said, we may not like the current system, but we need to master the rules, beat the Democrats at their own game. Their game is to cheat in many cases. I want a good, fair election. My candidate could lose, but if it's done fairly, that's the way it happens. But he continues saying Republicans must get tougher and fight harder to cast our votes. That I agree with. And then says get our ballots turned in earlier so Democrats can't rig the polls on us against us on Election Day. I don't think that's going to stop anybody that's going to try to rig it on Election Day. That's not the point. Now, you may have a different view of this. So, I mean, obviously we're entitled to different views. That's I have some friends who are absolutely 180 degrees from me when it comes to Trump, and a family member as well, or anything else. But we're still friends. I'm not going to lose a friendship or anything over this, but I have an issue with a lot of open days for voting. The more days you open up for voting and this banking your vote, that doesn't mean that they can't be changed. And then I swear to you right now, here's what you're going to hear. If Republicans win, God, I pray they do. But aside from that, if Republicans win, Democrats will be coming out and say, that bank that vote thing, you guys rigged it right there, didn't you? And I will fall back and say, yeah, and if you want to make that claim, you guys rigged when Biden ran against Trump and you had the FBI running around telling everybody to shut down the Hunter Biden laptop story because it might hurt Joe Biden. You rigged the election right then before a vote was cast. So that sense, it doesn't make any difference when you vote and if you bank it or you don't bank it. Every American citizen of legal age for voting should and have the right to vote. And if you don't do it, don't come whining to me because you don't like something going on. But I tell you what, I'm going to take a day and think this over and spend maybe some more time on it tomorrow because I'm not too sure I want to buy into the bank your vote idea. Well, of course, we know this last time around when Trump was beaten by Biden, the claims he made and Giuliani, we're going to get into that as well in the second hour, but that there was election interference and miscounting votes. Carrie Lake has a case still going that she hopes she's going to make it to the Supreme Court, that she should be governor in Arizona. And, of course, then there's that January 6th thing, all the violence. And the Democrats have made that their sound of freedom bell ringing over and over again. Remember January 6th? We saved the country. So now I want to share with you. You would think the Democrats then are certainly in favor of a peaceful transition of government, which we should be, all of us. But contrast the way they look at anybody who was even in the Capitol, near the Capitol, on January 6th. And now they vilify them and chase them to the ground, but can't find who left a bag of cocaine in the White House. I mean, come on. Can't find who put those pipe bombs around different places. There's just some things that defy explanation, which might include UFOs, which we'll talk about in a moment. But here's what I want to press to you. There's a new study out from the University of Chicago, saying that public support for the use of force to coerce members of Congress grew sharply among Democrats. It's not Republicans. It found out Democrats, they are all about, and let's use more force. And they look at the use of force grew from 9% to 17% between January 2023 to June 2023, basically doubling in that six-month period. increasing across the political spectrum, the rise was the sharpest among Democrats, who said, hell yeah, let's get down the street, have some violence, get the election results we want. Doubling. Now, the other thing interesting about this, the part of the study points out, this growing anger parallels a Republican rise to power. They didn't win the White House, but they won the House, and that's where they're focusing their anger, and proceedings in the House of Representatives, which means going after Joe Biden and company. Democrats, many I know, are all about, yeah, they don't like a president who sells favors to foreign nations. And even if he did in the past, it's part of his history now and the baggage he carries while in the White House. But apparently, according to these Democrats, they're all about, yeah, let's have more force to go, well, we want the elections. Study based on the University of Chicago, and may I remind you, the Democrat National Convention will be in Chicago. Chicago, Chicago. Oh, well, we'll see how that breaks out. Have you seen a UFO lately?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 and St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The subcommittee hearing on unidentified anomalous phenomena, or UAPs, will come to order.
You know, Mr. Knapp wrote, since 1969, the position of our military has been that UFOs pose no threat to national security and are not worthy of further study. I'd say that's the biggest understatement of the decade. He also goes on to talk about the dismissive attitude. It's at odds with what was revealed in documents, reports, and internal memos. And Mr. Cabral says, as he writes these words, the UFO is emerging as a major topic of global importance. I can state that as a fact out there. I met a fellow who came in here all the way from Denmark to be here for this meeting. So this is huge. This is worldwide.
Yeah, and Denmark is UFO territory. You were listening to Tennessee Congressman Burkett as UFO hearings got underway in Congress today. They've already heard from three retired military veterans at a House committee. And in one case, a former Navy pilot who now runs Americans for Safe Aerospace Group said if UAPs, they call them unidentified aerial phenomenon, are foreign drones, is an important national security problem. If it is something else, it is an issue for science. Of course, now we're talking about real science or political science, as we did with COVID. And he continued, in either case, unidentified objects are a concern for flight safety. There's a Navy commander, a retired U.S. Navy commander among those testifying and saying he has seen them himself, said that what they were doing, the technology we saw while I was flying was far superior to anything we had. And this is something he saw back in 2004. And there's been a lot of stuff like that that has been kind of hushed and put aside. I'm going to have my friend George Norrie back on to get into some of this stuff coming out today on UFOs. With his program Coast to Coast, it often deals with paranormals and UFOs. You do know that One U.S. president did file a UFO report. Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was out duck hunting, I think. Maybe rabbit hunting. I thought it was duck hunting, but maybe rabbit hunting. And he saw something that defied explanation. It was listed as a UFO. A UFO means simply unidentified flying object. It could be a bird that you've never seen before because you don't live in that part of the world, and suddenly you see it. To you, that's an unidentified flying object. Well, I know it's a bird, but I'm not sure it is a bird. Maybe it's a drone. Nowadays, who can tell? Well, we got a lot of questions yet to come. And, of course, we'll get into more details of those. Love having you with us on our 6 o'clock report. By the way, some big news is coming for LCUSA. I do thank you for joining us this time. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.